This is Crime Binge.
Welcome to Crime Binge,
the mini-sode,
where we are on episode 25, and we're covering Athlete A, which is a Netflix documentary.
Yes, it came out on June 24th, so it's still pretty new.
Yeah.
And the directors are Bonnie Cohen and John Schenck, who are a husband and wife team.
Oh, fun.
Mm-hmm. And basically, just the little synopsis is reporters from the Indianapolis Star expose Dr. Larry Nassar's sexual abuse of young gymnasts, and you hear from a bunch of the gymnasts.
Yeah, it was really interesting. And I, like, have always loved the sport of gymnastics.
Mm-hmm.
And seeing this, like, side of it was a really interesting thing to see, because I feel like there's a lot of abuse at these, like, high-level sports that involve children a lot of the time, like they were discussing in this documentary.
Yeah.
And I think it's important to, like, shine a light on it, you know?
Definitely. And, like, I think it's different from, like, the things we normally watch, like the true crime documentaries. Like,
yeah,
it's not a serial killer or something like that, but it's still just as important.
Yeah, just as awful. Like, it is just something that was on a much wider scale than just, like you said, like a serial killer or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, how did you like it?
I liked it. Like, if I were to rate it, I think I would give it a 10, honestly.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
I mean, I saw Rotten Tomatoes. They gave it 100%.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
IMBD gave it like a 7 point something.
Yeah.
But I really liked it. It was really interesting, and mm-hmm. it kept my attention the whole time. And I think that they had like a wide array of like witnesses and people doing interviews and talking. It wasn't just like one or two people.
Yeah. Yeah, I liked that. I also thought it was really interesting, like compared to the last one we watched, which was the 13th,
mm-hmm.
which was very like fact heavy because they wanted you to see like this line of systematic racism, like by all of the factual evidence. Mm-hmm. And this was like fact, but also it was sitting down and having a conversation about how this was perpetrated in the gymnastics community and like how we let it get here and then how we're gonna try and not let it continue type
yeah.
thing, which I really liked because I feel like that's also a different setup than what a lot of the documentaries we watch do.
Yeah, and it definitely like it did a really good job of telling the story, even though it wasn't in one like chronic timeline.
Yeah, because that's not really how the story was found out, you
yeah.
know. It was happening in a chronological order, but we weren't finding out about it that way.
Exactly.
So I think that was really interesting that they took it that way. Mm-hmm. As well, I also liked the aspect that we were following the Indianapolis Sun breaking the story.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really cool because
I think it was the Indianapolis Star.
Oh, Indianapolis Star. Indianapolis Star. I'm pretty sure I wrote down Sun every time because I just wanted it to be that.
It sounds better. It's fine.
Yeah.
We'll change
that's what's happening in my head. oh, no, I did write down Star. I just made up Sun on the spot is what it was. It was close. It was in the solar.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They're both in the sky.
Yeah.
The Sun is a star. Are you kidding me?
That's true. It is true. I don't remember what I was going to say, but I think it was interesting, and we'll go into this much more in detail, but essentially that this like news station accidentally, not news station, newspaper, mm-hmm. this newspaper accidentally broke this story because they were trying to uncover coaches' abuse
yeah.
and they uncovered Dr. Larry Nassar instead, which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, definitely. Do you want to just start off at the beginning?
Yeah, let's get into it.
So it starts off with Maggie Nichols, who is a young woman, and she was one of the first people to report Larry Nassar and anything kind of came from it. So it basically just starts with her and talking about why she loves gymnastics and why she does it.
Yeah, and she was an up-and-coming gymnastics star, like, on par with Simone Biles.
Yeah, like, she was the only 10-year-old in the country that competed in nationals.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
Yeah.
The next thing is that she says that the USA Gymnastics, which is the company that hosted a lot of these girls that made it to the Olympics.
Right.
Basically took away her life, and like her parents say that they still don't know about everything that happened.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of those sports where you're required to be there a lot of the time. Like, you spend a lot of your day in training and things like that. So you're not with your parents that often, and your parents like aren't really usually allowed on the floor. So you're not around your parents who would be able to protect you. And as a kid, you don't know what's right and wrong. And you don't know, like, if you should tell your parents. When the girls were at the 2016 Olympics, the story was coming out about USA Gymnastics had coaches that were abusing people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when the allegations kind of started coming forward.
Yeah. And then they had an investigative reporter come on, and her name is Marissa, and she said that a source told her that she should look into USA Gymnastics and just how they handle sexual abuse allegations.
Yeah.
Like, they were just like, you should look into this.
Yeah, because you can open a can of worms if you do.
Exactly. And they found out that, like, one coach was shown to have abused a young gymnast.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, different places were warned not to take him in.
Mm-hmm.
But USA Gym did. And, like, someone wrote, this coach needs to be put in a case before he rapes somebody.
A cage.
Sorry, yeah. A cage before he rapes somebody. And, like, USA Gym did nothing and took him in. And he was a coach.
Kind of like the Catholic Church. And no, I won't take it back because it's true. And something that they also discovered when they were doing, like, this reporting on it is that they handled allegations in a very specific way that made it nearly impossible for anyone to actually report a sexual assault or even just, like, just sexual misconduct in any way, you know? So they would not give an allegation to the police until it was signed by either the victim, the victim's parents, or a witness to the abuse. And then they would just, like, treat it as hearsay until one of those people signed it. And if not, it would just go in a file.
Yeah.
It would never be reported to the police.
Yep. And it wouldn't go against, like, coaches or anything like that.
Yeah. And it was uncovered that they had complaint files on 54 coaches over the course of 10 years, which is too many, if you ask me. Far too many.
Yeah. And then they cut to the next victim. And it was a girl named Rachel. And she's a former gymnast. She was, like, much older at this time. Not much older, but, like, in her late 20s, early 30s, I'm assuming. And she said that one day she opened up her computer and saw this headline about USA Gymnastics and said, if it's ever going to come out, it's going to come out now. And, like, that she was ready to speak her truth. And so she wrote to the Indianapolis Star, and she said that my abuse wasn't by a coach, but it was by Dr. Larry Nassar. And if they are covering this up for coaches, I think they'll be covering it up for him.
Yeah. And pretty much, like, the way that the documentary made it seem is that Jessica Howard and Jamie Dancher, I believe is how you say it, they also read the story around the same time and in their head had the same thought, like, oh, Dr. Larry Nassar did this to me too. and they came forward but weren't ready to have their names out in publication from what I understood at that point, right? Yeah. Like they, I think they also reached out to the Indianapolis Star and said, you should look into this name.
Yeah. And there, I think there was one that wanted to stay a Jane Doe.
Yeah.
And like Jessica Howard, like many of the other victims, said that when she was a teenager and a child, like she didn't realize what Dr. Larry Nassar was doing was sexual abuse.
Yeah.
Because there was no one to tell her right or wrong. And she thought that's what a doctor does, mm-hmm. until you're older and you're like, oh, that's not what a doctor does.
Yeah. And especially because you're already in gymnastics. I did gymnastics when I was younger, but never like to this level. You're already in like a very small uniform. Mm-hmm. And these girls who are practicing hard all the time are getting injured often and are already being touched a lot by doctors in a way that like you and I as children would not have been.
Yes.
So if an older man did that to us, we would immediately, like, that trigger would go off that something was wrong. But if your whole life, like, you've had a doctor just grab you by your thigh to check your knee or something like that, you're not, that kind of doesn't register until you, like you said, you're older. And that's really sad because, like, these girls were just, like, alone with this doctor a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And this was still, like, this was going on, so.
And it's, like, these are little girls. They're not, like, grown women. Like,
no, they're girls.
Yeah, they're, like, in their preteens and stuff like that.
Yeah. It's awful.
It is.
And Larry was often described as being like the only nice adult in the building because your coaches are always yelling at you, telling you to be better. But Dr. Nassar was there like telling them like it's okay, everything's going to be okay, and giving them like treats and stuff. And it's, to me, he was grooming them to all be okay with his abuse because he was just pretty much doing it to almost everyone.
Yeah, and like he was saying that he sees these girls and he's treating them multiple times a day from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Yeah.
Like, and some people were going in there four times a day.
Yeah. Yeah, that was said, like, I think closer to the end, but she was like, yeah, during the actual Olympics, I was going to see him like four times a day or something like that, which is crazy. I need to get a new word for something that happens other than crazy.
Crazy. Insane. And yeah, like that was like backed up by Jamie, which was another former gymnast.
Mm-hmm.
Like she said that she competed on broken toes and even a fractured back once.
Yeah.
And whenever she had injuries, she wasn't believed. Like, they made her lose weight, but Larry Nassar was the only one that was nice to her and was like, you don't have to lose the weight, here, have a snack, and like trying to help her and stuff. And you're exactly right, like, I didn't realize that it's definitely grooming them.
Yeah, because he was doing it to all of the girls, even if he wasn't sexually abusing all of them. Mm-hmm. So if you're giving this girl a piece of candy and you're giving this girl a piece of candy and abusing her, she sees that the other girl is getting candy and just assumes that that other thing is happening to her and won't ask about it.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like once, like when I finished it, I was like, what a despicable, conniving human being. Because you'll find out the thing that enraged me the most about this, because they don't tell you till closer to the end. He wasn't even on the salary.
Yes.
For USA Gymnastics.
He was a volunteer.
He had been volunteering for all of these years and was able to sexually abuse hundreds of girls. Literally hundreds.
For decades.
Because he was volunteering.
That's fucking disgusting.
Like, it makes me so... You can probably tell my energy levels are a little low this episode just because this was a shitty fucking documentary, man.
It was. It was so frustrating because, like, obviously everyone knows this shit was going on, and
yeah,
nothing was done about it. And again, these were fucking children.
Almost every single adult in that building knew it was going on, if yeah. not every adult. I don't know, that's alleged, but from what they were saying, pretty much every coach knew what was going on, and no one was doing anything to stop it because we were making Olympians, which is so fucking ridiculous.
It is.
Whew.
Something that I thought was insane yeah. was, so when they go to compete with USA Gymnastics, they have to go train on this ranch that's in Texas.
Yeah.
So this ranch was owned by Bella and Marta. I forgot how to say their last name.
Yeah.
But it's like Carolee. And basically, like, this ranch was so strict that, like, the parents weren't allowed to go on the ranch ever. So yeah. they can't see what's happening with their children. There's no cell phone reception, so parents can't call their children. But, you know, that's where you go to make the Olympic team.
Yeah.
Like, that's what everything is everyone wants to do whatever they can to make it to the Olympics. And, like, the family said that they didn't know that Nasser was one of the people that was there. And in 2015,
mm-hmm.
Maggie Nichols said that Larry was doing treatments for her back. And, like, he would do them in the back room where the girls would watch TV and get massages. And, like, there were other people there, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And he's touching her. And she realizes that something just isn't right. And she decided to ask Allie Raisman, who was her friend and fellow gymnast.
Yeah.
And Allie's like, yeah, that's happened to me too. And that's like, her face is literally on my box of soy milk that I have in my fridge. Like, mm-hmm. she's one of the ones that won all the gold medals and everything in the Olympics.
Yeah.
And Maggie's coach overheard her talking and called her mother and told her that Larry was touching her private parts and putting his hands ungloved into her vagina. And the mom is like, we need to do something. Let's call the authorities.
Yeah.
And her coach was like, no, we're not going to call the authorities. We'll call Rhonda Fahine, who's the vice president of the women's program.
Mm-hmm.
And who then went to Steve Penny, who is the president and CEO.
Yeah.
And it's just like they said a bunch of times in the documentary that it is illegal to not to know about this
yeah.
and not give it to law enforcement.
Well, then Steve Penny even goes so far as to like call Maggie's mother and tell her, we're investigating this. Don't call police. Don't mm-hmm. contact police. And he's not contacting police. He lied to her and said that he was, but he was in like conducting an internal investigation rather than report it to the police.
Mm-hmm.
And you find out later the actual time frame, but I'm just going to tell you now. It took 5 weeks before he reported this information to the FBI.
Yeah.
And then the FBI did nothing about it. But exactly. That's another thing we'll talk about later. But it took him 5 weeks. And like you said, that's a mandatory reporting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if a child tells you that, you have to go to the police.
Yeah. And like, Maggie's father was also interviewed in this, and
yeah.
he kept saying, like, talking about how Steve Penny would keep calling him and be like, yeah, we're taking care of Maggie, like, don't worry about it. And her dad was like, well, this is like the big Olympic professional team. I shouldn't yeah. have to worry about any of that happening. Like, I should be able to trust you to make sure that my daughter is safe.
And yeah. You like, should be ensuring everything possible that all of your athletes are safe.
Exactly.
Because gymnasts are crazy fucking athletes. Mm-hmm. Like, so you should be protecting them if 100%. You're not going to protect them physically, because God knows you're not going to do that either. Like,
performing and competing on a broken back or fractured yeah. back. Like,
which that's just, that'll harm anyone for the rest of their life. Like,
exactly. And like, you see, like, people that they do something and they get off the vault and they get a broken foot or knee or whatever.
Yeah.
And their coaches are like, it's okay, you can come off, but you know, they're like, you need to go back and do it again. And yeah, they have to perform on that broken ligament,
yeah,
or whatever. And it's just fucking scary.
It is scary.
So another gymnast named Jennifer Say, who is an author and writes about her experience with gymnastics.
Yeah.
She started gymnastics in the 70s and described the methodology of their training as cruelty.
Mm-hmm.
And she trained with, again, Bella and Marta, and who owned the ranch. She said that they would be as cruel as they wanted because they were getting results. And they were gym coaches from Romania who coached this famous 14-year-old gold medalist.
Yeah.
And that's basically when they started making it children as opposed to adults in the gymnastics world.
Yeah. And I thought that was something really interesting that the documentary brought up, because it was like before really like the late 70s, because that happened, I believe, in 76 or something. Mm-hmm. That it was adult women who were performing these gymnastics routines. And then when this 14-year-old girl came onto the scene, everybody started pushing to have younger and younger girls do it, because supposedly the younger the girl, like, the smaller her body, essentially, and the smaller they would be able to do, like, the flips and... Mm-hmm. That's wild. Like,
yeah, and that's
why is every other sport for adults, exactly, but gymnastics, the most brutal one, is like, let's do it to our kids.
Yeah. And like, so the Romanians did it first with, yeah, bringing that Nadia girl. And so that started happening everywhere. And this Jennifer Say girl, she said that like the Romanians were the best. They were very disciplined and everything, but like they didn't seem like kids. They never talked or smiled. They seemed scared and like robots. Like,
right,
when they were being interviewed, they were like, Nadia, why don't you ever smile? And she's 14 years old and she just like gives them a little fake smile and then just like walks away.
Yeah.
And a little bit more about like Bella and Marta, one of their choreographers like came and interviewed, and he said that like Bella would call the girls fat cows and pigs, and they would both slap the girls around, and like Marta would slap the girls until they had imprints of her rings on their faces. And the choreographer said that he had tried to report them,
mm-hmm,
but no one did anything because, quote, in Romania that was acceptable.
Yeah. And this style of training, not necessarily to that extent, but it started getting popular in America because they were like, well, they're producing gold star medalists, mm-hmm, with these like training methods. So we need to make our training methods more strict. And that's really where everything, I think, went downhill.
Yeah.
I think because like gymnastics is an incredible sport. It's very cool. And I know that not every single coach out there is like this and they're not all awful, but it is like, it's a big stressor regardless. And I think it's because like it's acceptable now to be mean to athletes to, mm-hmm, get results. And it's like, but also treat people with kindness.
Yeah. And again, that Jennifer Say girl, like piggybacking on that, she said that in other sports, the athletes are adults. They can reasonably make choices about, yeah, what they want. I don't think that's true in gymnastics.
No, it's not, because realistically, like, you start doing it from a young age if you want to be the best at it.
Exactly.
You know? That's very true. It's not an autonomous sport at all.
Yeah.
So one thing that I think is interesting about Larry Nassar is that He has a bunch of videos online.
Yeah.
Showing his quote unquote physical therapy. And like, even on the videos online, investigators are like, it's just off. Like,
it is.
Even the stuff he's doing is weird in the videos, but it was portrayed as being this like revolutionary physical therapy for gymnasts, and it's not, and it was weird that it was online, I think.
And it, like, wasn't professional at all, because he's trying to crack jokes during it.
Yeah.
And, like, grabbing girls' bodies and being like, this is what I call the boop-de-boop-de-boop. And
yeah.
I'm like, no, it's not. Like, yeah. You're cracking her knee. Like,
Yeah.
No, you're not trying to make it cute. Like, if you're trying to make a video, it should be informational and not, like,
cutesy.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
It's like, let's use our professional language here and all of that stuff. Yeah, it's very odd. And they do show some of the videos. They don't get too graphic in nature, but they're just, even watching them, they're unsettling.
They are.
And Larry is so bold that at one point in the documentary, a girl is describing a physical exam where, while her mother is in the room, he positions his body in a way where he can, like, manually insert a digit into her in front of her mother.
Yeah, like, she said that with his right hand, he was doing the therapy, and with his left hand, he was assaulting her.
Yeah.
And, like, she also said that she didn't know that her mom couldn't see it, so, mm-hmm. like, she was like, oh, well, my mom's okay with this, so it should be fine.
Yeah, she assumed if he's doing it with my mother in the room, then it's okay, because you would think that.
Exactly.
That's very upsetting and disconcerting to me.
Yeah, and she said that she saw him for about once a month for a year after that, and she was sexually abused almost every time he yeah. started progressing. It went from vaginal penetration to anal penetration with digits.
Yeah.
And she said that on one of her last visits, he literally unhooked her bra and started rubbing her breasts and became sexually aroused.
Yeah, like, visibly. Like,
there is nothing that a doctor should do like that.
No, absolutely not.
Especially a physical therapist.
For children.
Yes.
Like, every modifier that gets put on that is just even worse than the one before it. And Rachel again tells a coach that this is going on, and they essentially tell her that she should stop talking about it and not to tell anyone else.
Yeah, and she's like, well, no one else is saying things like that, so it must
yeah.
not be true.
Yeah, like, you must just be making that up, which children often don't make up things that they have, like, they know nothing about.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't just randomly say that someone was inserting ungloved fingers into their vaginas.
And also, anytime a doctor sees you,
yeah,
and touching you, they should be wearing gloves.
Yeah.
Like, even if you see them every day, like, that's a professional thing to do.
Yeah.
So in 2015, Maggie was competing to get a chance to go to the 2016 Olympics, but then she tore her meniscus at the ranch and had to have knee surgery. And yeah. so, like, that basically put her career on hold for a while.
Yeah, that's a pretty big surgery. Mm-hmm. Maggie had reported her sexual assault, and the family started noticing that she was being treated differently, because she had previously been, like, one of their star performers,
yeah,
star athletes, and now she wasn't, like, getting as much credit and all of that. They say because she tore her meniscus, but we don't think it's because of that. But a great example of this is that Simone Biles was going to be, that's how you say it, right?
Yep.
Okay. Simone Biles was going to be in a Hershey's commercial, and she was going to have her friends with her and her family, but she only got to choose like one or two friends, and she chose Maggie because that was like her closest friend on the team. And she shows up to do it, and the coach calls and is just screaming and is like, no, Maggie cannot be in that commercial. I determine what's going on, and Maggie's not doing the commercial.
Yeah, which is insane because you're not Hershey's.
Yeah, exactly. And around this time, the mom is like, we at this point still thought the FBI was looking into our case and that the police were actively looking into it. And we were told that if we said anything, we would put the investigation in jeopardy, which is another great way to not have your parents ask about the case.
Yeah, and to shut people up.
Yeah, which is just awful. Like, I just don't understand.
Yeah, it's like, luckily now we know that, like, more, like, publicity on something will get more action.
Yeah.
But, you know, when you're told by someone that you trust that, like, hey, the FBI is dealing with it, just keep it on the DL for a while yeah. they do their investigation, you're going to listen to them.
Exactly. You would believe them. Mm-hmm. And after this, the parents were like, okay, well, that's kind of strange, the whole Hershey's thing. And then it's the Olympic tryouts, right? Mm-hmm.
And they choose who's going to go to the Olympics.
Yeah, but not even that was... like Maggie's parents before had been getting camera crews that would follow them around stadiums, and they would be given mics. Mm-hmm. And at this tryout, they weren't given anything, and they weren't given a camera crew. And they were like, oh, we see what's happening
yeah,
now.
They already decided that we aren't going to go.
Yeah. Like, it was chosen before she got to actually do the tryout, basically. Yeah.
And so the tryouts happen, and they choose who's going to the Olympics. And in the tryouts, Maggie finishes 6th overall.
Yeah.
And they take 5 girls. So understandably, they take the top 5 girls, and she's not chosen in that.
Yeah. And she did. She was supposed to perform something, and she didn't perform it. She performed it just under. So it's makes understandable. Sense. Yeah.
Yeah. But then they also chose... 3 alternatives.
Yeah.
Alternates. That's the word. Alternates. And even though she was next in line, she wasn't one of these girls either.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, okay. Like since we filed the complaints, we're basically just being kicked out of everything, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is unfortunate that they were even willing to be that obvious with it.
Mm-hmm. So next you see this detective who works with sex crimes, and she gets the case and she interviews Larry. And like, even though in USA Gymnastics, they did implement that there needs to be another medical professional in the room when he sees patients because he had allegations in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And he admitted that there isn't always another medical professional in the room. And he did say, because they asked if he would do anal digit penetration, because they were asking for Rachel. And he said that he would do it if he had to fix a coccyx, and he would definitely wear gloves. And, like, she said that he did it without gloves, and...
Also,
I don't think she had any coccyx problems.
Your coccyx is your tailbone.
Yeah.
Which is a lot higher up than anywhere where a finger would be able to reach in your anus.
Yeah. And like,
sorry, like, not to be graphic, but it's just, that doesn't make any fucking sense.
And he, when he speaks, like, he just keeps throwing out these big terminologies and, like, body parts. And then he'll just be like, oh, well, you don't understand what I'm saying. Just to, like, try and get out of answering the question, essentially.
Yeah, watching his interview is, like, very uncomfortable because he, like, is very obviously threatened that he's there. And he is not hiding it at all that he's, like, scared that he's mm-hmm. called in. And he gets defensive and is like, well, why are they coming out? why are they coming out after all of these years later? Yeah. And the investigator is even like, well, if you were a teenage girl, would you come out against an adult? And he like has nothing to say to that. And even the detective, when, because he does keep trying to use medical terminology in a way to confuse her. And she's like, I don't care if yeah. you're using medical terminology. I just want my answers. Like, why are you inserting ungloved fingers into teenage girls? Like,
yeah,
that's what we're trying to answer here.
And like going back to Rachel's thing where she said that he got aroused and would get an erection. The investigator asked him if he would get an erection or become aroused during exams. And he just, like, stumbled on his words a lot and, like, tried for forever to think of what to say. Mm-hmm. But he eventually settled on the answer of, well, guys get erections sometimes. It doesn't mean that I'm aroused by what I'm doing. And I'm like, that's literally exactly what that means. Especially as a grown man. You're not 13 getting your first erections.
Larry ends up leaving sometime in 2015 from the USA Gymnastics, saying it was not due to any of the allegations against him and that it was because he wanted to run for the school board and all of this nonsense.
Yep. And let's run for the school board when you have sexual allegations against you for children.
Yeah. It's like maybe if we go into a different line of work, they just won't look into my previous allegation.
Right.
But something I like appreciated that they put in here was one of the Indianapolis Star reporters said he went and talked to Nassar about this story because he wanted to get all sides like reporters do. And even he felt bad for Nassar. Like he was so charmed by him being like, like, you're going to ruin my family and my life if you publish this story. And he had to remind himself, like, this man is awful and this man did awful things. Don't let him convince you not to publish the story because he's being charming. And I think that's important that even a grown man was included in here saying, like, he was charmed by Nassar. Because, like, what are you going to do for girls who are that young? Like, it's gonna be very easy to now I can't think of the word,
like, charm them, groom them.
Yeah, it's gonna be much easier to groom them if you're able to do it to a grown man, you know what I mean?
Yeah. And not my favorite part, but like his downfall was very satisfying to me.
Yeah, it was,
because his main downfall was that he publicly said that he had never done an intravaginal procedure.
Yeah.
Which means he never professionally stuck his digits inside of a vagina, and the hundreds of women who thought that this was like a standard procedure was like, oh wait, but he did that to me.
Yeah.
And essentially, like, that was his downfall, because all these women are like, oh wait, never mind, I was abused by him.
Yeah. And like, when it breaks that this happened, more and more women come forward, to the point where, like, literally hundreds of women eventually come forward. And that comes down a little bit ways down the line. But, like, as soon as the story breaks, just people started trickling in, like, oh, I have a very similar story to that. And something that I hated, my least favorite fact of this, was that he was running for school board when this article came out and still won 22% of the vote for school board, which was only 2,000 votes, but that's 2,000 votes too many if you ask me.
It is, 100%. And I was just going to say, and there's, like, as this time's happening, there's more and more women and cases coming out against him.
Yeah.
Like, Allie Raisman reported that Larry had sexually abused Michaela, the other one of the five main girls, when they were in their residence in the London Olympics in 2012.
Yeah. And it's discovered that some of these girls, like Michaela, have either 100% signed NDAs or it's alleged that they've signed NDAs because some of them can't or won't come forward.
Exactly. When you know what happened to them.
Yeah. Because it's been confirmed by other women.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it's just he did it to I would say probably almost every girl that came into his office, he abused them, which is so disgusting. And it's truly why our sexual assault rates are so high, mm-hmm. because I don't think I know a single woman in my life who hasn't been sexually harassed or abused in some way or another. And I think that this just perpetrates that idea that it could be literally anyone in your life.
Definitely,
because fuck this guy. But when this case did break, the only person who was actually like the voice of it was Rachel, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because her name was the only one being published, and people started like attacking her, like trolls on the internet do. They started coming for her, saying that she was a liar, and they were threatening her. Saying that Larry Nassar would never do that, and like just crazy shit started coming towards her, which is
like the worst.
Always
thing she
what
could
would
imagine.
Happen,
yeah.
You know, and is not how it should. But at this point in the story, I like that they just kind of double down on the fact that it went through four separate adults in a line of command before someone reported it to the police, and even then it took 5 weeks to do so, and that's when the FBI took no action.
Yeah, like there was nothing being done.
Yeah, they just like didn't look into the accusations any further once it came across their desk. And they eventually find 36,000 images of child pornography.
Yeah, it says that they found out that he was doing treatments in the basement of his home in Michigan and sexually abusing women doing so. So they get a search warrant for his house. And on September 20th, 2016, they execute it. And his trash was there. And they go through his trash and they found several hard drives where they found thousands and thousands of pictures of child pornography.
Which just goes to show that he absolutely did it.
Oh, 100%.
If there's
no
any
doubt
in your mind, he definitely did it. And something that I think was beautiful, and I definitely cried, was the trial when all of those women came forward and read their victim statements. And they had so many women come forward and read their victim statements. And a lot of them were like even the Olympic winners who came forward. And it was a very touching moment. And then when Rachel finished off with her statement, I was like, ooh, I'm crying.
Yeah, it was really powerful. And like seeing all of these women uplift each other and everyone hugged everyone when they were done and supported them. And it turns out that he ends up making a plea deal to possession of child pornography and trying to destroy evidence. During this plea deal, it means that they dropped the intent to sexually abuse while traveling overseas, which is a violation of federal law. So I hate plea deals.
Yeah, me too.
Like, it's a good thing that you know he's going to prison, but it's like you're dropping the most important things, like,
yeah,
that will bring absolute justice to people.
Yeah. I did think that it was nice that all of these girls, like you said, did encourage one another to do their victim statements, because I think having that many read was even that more powerful, because victim statements are already powerful, but then to have that many like just read one right after the other is great.
Yeah, they said it took multiple days to read all of them.
Yeah, and one that really pissed me off was not the statement itself, but Maggie did not feel comfortable coming to do her statement, and she was in school, so she just didn't want to. Mm-hmm. So her mom read her statement for her, and her mom like says, I'm going to read the statement that Maggie gave to the public. And as soon as she says public, the camera pans to Larry Nassar, who shakes his head in anger at the word public. Because he's pissed that people are publicly knowing his story, because the whole time, that's all he's cared about was his public image being tarnished, not the fact that he got caught.
Yeah.
Like, every time people talked about this case, he was like, just don't put that out in the public. And it's like, no, you abused literal hundreds of girls. Like, you get to get shamed publicly now for it.
Exactly. So he ends up receiving two 60-year sentences.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, is, I guess, the best we're going to get.
Yeah, for sure. And something I appreciated is that the Indianapolis Sun was like, that's great. We got Larry Nassar away. We're not done with our investigation, though, because that's not even what we fucking started out in hopes of doing.
Exactly.
So they're still continuing their investigation, which is beautiful. I'm very happy about that. And there are like actual investigations going on with the FBI and the police and stuff. So the owner of USA Gymnastics, Mr. Penny, he is getting questioned in, I think that was like the federal courts, right?
Probably.
I don't remember where it was, but it's in a very official looking courtroom.
Yeah.
And he's being questioned and he keeps invoking the Fifth Amendment. And the guy asking him literally is just like, are you going to invoke the Fifth Amendment for everything we ask you here today? Because if so, you can be dismissed.
Yeah. And he just left.
Yeah. And he just gets up and leaves. And it was truthfully hilarious. Not that he left, but that the guy was just like, are you going to do that for every question? Because we're not wasting my time, essentially. Exactly. And then he's arrested. And he's like under investigation and all of that stuff.
They said, I think he's arrested for tampering and evidence against the Larry Nassar case.
Yeah, because he was. Mm-hmm. If you're not going to give it over to police, you are tampering with evidence. But yeah, another one bites the dust, basically. Exactly.
And so the documentary starts with Maggie talking about her love of gymnastics and then how it basically ruined her life. And then it ends by her talking about her love of gymnastics again, because she goes on to compete for the University of Oklahoma. And like, there, people are nice to her. Her coaches are great. The medical staff is great. And she says she's finally happy again, like doing gymnastics, and she's doing what she loves instead of like competing on the elite level.
Yeah.
And
she's doing great.
Exactly.
It looks like she's thriving.
Mm-hmm. And in 2018, she became the NCAA national all-around champion. And in 2019, she did it again and defended her title.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
It is. It's very cool. And I'm glad that she gets to still do her passion and like actually get to enjoy it now.
Exactly.
You know? And I don't remember her name, but
Marta,
the owner of the ranch, basically, that the girls were trained on. She also openly admitted to knowing of Nassar's abuse and that she still allowed him to work on the ranch.
Yep.
And so now that has officially been closed as well. They no longer train girls.
Yeah, I think it closed in January of 2018.
Yeah, as it should, because definitely, that's foul that they knew that was going on and just continued to let it happen so they could make great athletes.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it. We never said Maggie was athlete A.
No, we didn't.
She was the original girl who did a case, so she was the first athlete, so she was athlete A.
And since she was a minor, they didn't use her name all the time, so they called her athlete A. And then my last note is the very last thing that they had on the screen was that in the end, over 500 survivors of Nassar's came forward, including 9 Olympians.
Yeah. 500.
Like that. And I bet there's more, you know?
Oh, I'm sure there are more that have either not come forward, have possibly even literally, like, awful passed away. Mm-hmm. Like, there's an, like, so many things wrong with this story. And I think that we need to be, like, a lot more vigilant when it comes to this kind of stuff. Like, we always are saying, like, if you see something, say something, because, like, if you're wrong, the worst thing is that a child is not being sexually abused.
Yeah, and that someone wasted an hour to check it out or whatever. Yeah,
and, like, I don't know. It can cause strife, but it's better to know that someone isn't being sexually abused.
Exactly, and, like, a lot of comments and reviews that I saw of this said that, like, if you have children in sports, you need to watch this. And, like,
yeah,
if you're in sports and you're a coach or something, you need to watch this. And, like, yeah, like, you heard about it in the news and then it kind of got forgotten about, just like everything else. So I'm really glad that they did this documentary because, again, I just... all I knew was that this Olympic doctor was abusing people. I didn't know how he was abusing people.
Yeah.
Like the specifics of it or anything like that. How many people we didn't know. Like,
yeah.
And so.
The broad scope of it, we had no idea.
Exactly. Yeah. And I didn't know about the child porn stuff. I only knew about the sexual abuse stuff.
Yeah. And the child porn really just like puts that final nail in the coffin.
It does.
You know? Yeah. It's crazy. This case is crazy. And I am glad that, like you said, a documentary was done on it, because I think in today's day and age, that's like the easiest way for people to digest news.
Definitely.
Because it's all condensed down into a entertaining manner for them. So if people can learn about the dangers of that in like the athletic world, because the same thing with Jerry Sandusky, he was doing that for years and years and years, and that was to boys and men. Mm-hmm. So it's not just women that it happens to, but this is a largely female sport.
Yes.
So it, this one just happens to be more about women. And that's, yeah.
Yeah. And like with this documentary in particular, like, you know, you always wish for more, like you always want more details, more resolution, everything. But I do like the fact that it was in like an hour and a half documentary form as opposed to like 5 episodes and they didn't draw it out.
Right.
Because it's honestly a pretty quick watch.
Yeah.
But you get enough information and it keeps you drawn in. And like, I do find myself when I watch those like limited series kind of trailing off or getting bored or having to come back to it later, which I liked about this because I got it all at once.
Yeah. Yeah. Overall, it's a great watch and we highly recommend.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, guys. We will see you for our case this Friday.
Yes.
If you want to hang out with us, you can check us out on social media at Crime Binge or Crime Binge Podcast.
You can email us if you have any suggestions for cases or future minisode episodes at crimebinge@gmail.com. And please remember to rate and review on Apple Podcasts and anywhere else you can.
Yeah. And keep on binging. Bye.
See ya.